Again, invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we've read this passage over. We're going to jump right in here to verse number 5. We've been given exceeding great and precious promises. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness by our Lord, we who are saved. And we are to be busy about some things. Verse number 5 of 2 Peter 1, and beside this, giving all diligence. That means hurry. Be busy about it. Be conscious about it. Be on purpose about it. Be giving all diligence, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, holiness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And so we have a directive from our Lord to be adding to our faith, a faith given by the Lord, possessed by men. And so we see here what we're to add. These messages, the title of these messages is Jesus' example about what we are to add and to exhibit. And then we come over to Galatians 5, Galatians chapter 5, familiar passage, I trust, where it tells us, the apostle writes, telling us in verse 22 of chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's capital S. That's one of the persons of the Trinity. That is God. He is God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no filling of these. You can't get enough. We can't exhibit enough. There can't be a showing forth enough of these in our lives. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And those things are mentioned in previous verses. And we that are Christ, that's what we're to do, is to mortify this old man. If we live in the Spirit of God, let us also walk in the Spirit of God. We live by faith and the Spirit of God placed within. We need to walk in this life, verse 25, by that Spirit. That is the definition of spirituality, is walking as the Lord would walk. Let us not be desired of vainglory, the vainglory of the world, provoking one another, envying one another as the world operates and behaves. This morning, we want to take a look at this, but the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace. This world is looking for peace. There is a false peace, and there's a peace that's promoted. The Scripture even tells us in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians that there's going to come a day when they're going to say, peace, peace, and sudden destruction is going to come. The peace that's offered by this world is a false peace, and we need to know that. And I'll go ahead and interject this. It's not in these notes, but and I've preached on it, been some time ago, and I think I'm going to take that part and break it out into a separate message. But that little chicken foot in the circle, that little peace sign, that as it's called, I tell you what, don't you wear that. Don't you have anything to do with that. Don't you let your children wear that. Listen, that little chicken foot there is a Russian. A rune. It's a letter of the kind of medieval alphabet that Germanic tribes followed after. And you know what you find on tombstones from that day, and even of the SS of the German army and the Germans in the day of World War II? You find that little chicken foot on the day they died. That's the rune. That's the death rune. And what a bill of goods we've been sold in the 60s and the 70s to make that the peace sign. That's not the peace sign. That's and I can show you some pictures, and I can show you some history about that. Don't have anything to do, because that's Satan's peace sign, which he's looking for is death of mankind and dishonoring of God. And so stay away from that thing. Know what you wear, know what it means, okay? But peace, the world's looking for peace. And the definition of peace, we take a look at this Greek word, it's talking about prosperity, quietness, rest. Parents will say to their children sometimes, be quiet. I need some peace and quiet. Okay, I need some peace and quiet because children are always up in energy and all that. I need some peace, quietness, rest. And so this word peace is talking about calmness and stability in that. I like this definition that Noah Webster brings forth in his 1828 dictionary. The definition for peace, harmony, concord. Listen, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. You've got two parties and they're at variance. And we spoke about this in the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two parties at variance, God and you, God and me, and talking about us naturally. But and we needed the Lord to do something for us, and what Christ has done for us and does for the sinner and salvation in his intercession and his mediation between us and God, he brings peace. Isn't it good to have peace with God? You know, we have peace with our Lord when he saved us. We have peace with God when we're obedient to him. There's a, with peace with the Lord, there's an absence of guilt. And from the standpoint of our sin, the Lord has saved us and washed us and cleansed us from our sins. From the standpoint of the child of God, walking with our Lord, as a brother taught in a Sunday school class, we can go to our Lord and the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That makes peace, doesn't it? Makes peace. And the world is looking for peace, and we who are saved, we have peace through our Lord. In 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, as we read, we're not told to add peace. It doesn't say there for us to add peace. But again, we're told there to add components to our faith that if we do truly add them, will render peace in our lives and a witness and a desire for peace. As it says there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, if these things be in you, these things to add to faith, these things to be diligently adding, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 11, and we'll refer to it, I believe, later in the message. But he says, learn of me. Are you loaded down? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We need to learn of our Lord, not just the historical facts, but the operation of our Lord. What Jesus said about peace during his life on earth. What Jesus said about peace during his life on earth. Matthew chapter 10. Let's take a look at here. Consider this subject of peace and consider the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came had his life and ministry on this earth and is alive at the right hand of the Father. What is it that the Lord Jesus said about peace? Well, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, he tells us. And he says what he's showing here is this conflict between the peace he brings and the peace that this earth, this world, wants. In Matthew 10:32, whosoever there shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, to agree with the way of the world, to agree with the prince and the power of the air, to agree with sinful man. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There in the latter part, the Lord talks about his economy, and he talks about earlier about this variance, this lack of peace. Why? Is the Lord talking about two folks that are saved, whose hearts are right, walking before the Lord? No, he's not talking about brothers and sisters in Christ and even those who are in the same family not getting along. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us and brings help and brings peace so that the blessing of life and the blessing of eternal life and salvation and peace because of Christ can transcend the things that we have naturally that we deal with. Why is there a lack of peace? Why is there this sword? It's because those of the world want to do what the world says and what the flesh wants to be done. But those who are Christ's want to follow him, want to be obedient to him. And when those come together, there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a bad lack of peace. In Luke chapter 12. So the Lord doesn't bring peace conceding to the way of man or the way of the world. May we understand that. That's what our Lord is telling. He's not bringing peace to just placate man and where man is in life and the way of this world. He doesn't bring peace that way. He brings peace in and of himself. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 49. The Lord does not bring peace that is desired by the world. In Luke chapter 12, verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it already be kindled? Verse 50, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Speaking about his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Lord says, I've not come to bring peace the world's way here. It just isn't going to fly. What's going to happen is what I'm going to do is going to expose the way of the world and the way of man, and it's just going to bring a division. It's going to bring a dividing line. I have not come to bring peace the world's way. Our Lord speaks in John 15 and verse 22. He says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, the religious leaders, and even unto us in the world, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. See, the very appearing, the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very reason for the need for Christ to come as Savior is an offense to mankind. What? You saying I'm sinful? You saying I'm guilty before God? You say that I have a creator? You say that I need peace made for me by some other? And man just thinks naturally, I don't need anything from anybody, anyone. And so the Christ coming and fulfilling his gospel, man looks on at that and says, what's the reason for that? Why is that? And Jesus, when he came in the day of his ministry, he took the wrapper off of sin, didn't he? He took the cloak off of sin. He revealed it plainly. And he never suffered sin. He was a friend to sinners. But he never supported sinners in their sin. He told the lady who was a harlot, and the Lord saved, we'll even look at a verse talking about her and how the Lord saved her. He says, go and sin no more. But the Lord coming and revealing sin brought this great this great chasm and this lack of peace between the way of God and the way of man. Speaking about the Spirit in John 16, the Lord Jesus tells about what the Comforter would do in the church. And he says he's going to reprove the world of sin. Listen to this. The Spirit of God, the Comforter, is going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not in me. See, if you believe in Christ, you believe in everything about Christ, that we're sinners, we're guilty, we have no hope. We need a Savior. We need someone to do something for us that we can't do. That means we're weak. And the thing is we need Him to do it for us. There's not a bit that we can do to leverage the Lord to come and save our souls. That He came and brought His Word and His truth. That He did and built His church in this latter day. Since the time of His appearing and this time of His walk in this ministry, He built His church so that the keys of the kingdom might be in her, so that the Word of God might be in her, that she, the Lord's churches, would bring the Word of God to sinners. We're dependent on Him. But you say you take Christ out of the picture, there's no help and there's no peace and there's no hope. We needed the Lord indeed, and He has told us the truth. And as natural men, we don't like it. But it's what we need, isn't it? It's what we need. It's the only place that there's help. So the Lord does not bring peace, the peace desired by the world. But you know what? Our Lord indeed has the power to bring total and complete peace, doesn't He? I love this passage, and well, I love a lot of passages. Don't you? It's like the passage that you love the most is the last one that you read. Mark chapter 4, take a look here. Our Lord has the power to bring complete peace. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, in the same day when even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. They sent away the multitude. They took a little ship. Verse 37, there arose a great storm and the waves beat into the ship. Even these experienced seamen and brethren that had been there, all grown up on the lake of Galilee, on the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. The Lord Jesus is. Verse 38, verse 39. Or they, in the latter part of verse 38, they go to Him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, unto the sea, peace, be still. Quit blowing. Settle down. Peace, be still. And what happened? That sea was like glass. Our brethren had never seen anything like this before. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm, and He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no faith in Him? If He's sleeping on a pillow in the back part of the ship, He's not running in circles screaming and shouting. Why are we upset? Amen? I mean, that's what He's telling us. If the Lord's not worked up, why are we worked up? Amen? And that's why He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And anytime you see that word faith, it's talking about the Lord Jesus, faith in Him, or as He would say, faith in me. Listen, and they feared exceedingly. Now, I can't be afraid about that, so I'm going to be afraid about this. And then, it's telling on us, isn't it? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? He can speak. At His word, peace is brought. He can bring complete peace, can He? I tell you what, if He has the power over the seas and the water like that, Brother Jim, that was just the Sea of Galilee, not the Pacific Ocean. Come on, really? Would you take that position? Would someone be so foolish to take that position? If He could do that with Galilee, He can do that with any body of water that there is, all at the same time. Peace, be still. It's actually told in the Revelation, in the book of the Revelation, that part of the judgment of the Lord is going to be that there's going to come a time that there'll be no wind. No wind, no ability for sailing traffic on the water. We need the Lord, don't we? We need the Lord. Isn't that something? The Lord's power at hand. The Lord has power to bring complete peace. And the peace that the Lord brings is not that peace desired by the world. And then, thirdly, he came to make peace between us, between sinners and God. And in Luke chapter 1, I enjoy this passage very much. Brother Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, he comes to this time. The Lord's dealt with him, and the child has been born, and he has been made mute, and to where he couldn't speak for the time that Elizabeth, from the time he left the Jerusalem to come back home, and then his wife conceived, and the whole time she was carrying the child and all that, he's not been able to talk until it came down time to John, for John to be born and for him to be named. And it was so because of his lack of belief. And then, but when the Lord looses his tongue, listen to what our brother prophesies. And his father, in Luke chapter 1, verse 67, and his father, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Verse 71, "that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham." Verse 74, "that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins." Verse 78, "through the tender mercy," remission of their sins, "through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us." Verse 79, "to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." Our brother prophesying about his son and how the Lord would use him and how he was being used of the Lord to be one that would prepare the way of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would be the one that would guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus came to make peace, to make peace. We see in Luke chapter 2 at our Lord's birth. We see here in Luke chapter 2 at our Lord's birth and verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Praise the Lord for that, not just for the Jews. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, that the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Peace on earth, peace by this babe, by this one, by the Son, the only begotten Son of God. He came to bring peace. Peace. Peace between us and the Lord. In Mark chapter 5, we see another thing here concerning peace and what our Lord said about peace, true peace, in the day of his ministry. The Lord does not bring the peace desired by the world, but the Lord has the power to bring complete peace. He came to make peace between us and our God. And we see here in Mark chapter 5, the peace and healing in coming to Jesus, in coming to Jesus. There's this woman with an issue of blood, and she suffered many things for a long, long time. She comes to our Lord. She says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. If I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, he's got the power. He's got the ability. I've known by his preaching. I've known by what I've heard. I've known about others that have been healed. He is full of this virtue, of this power. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, just touch his clothes, touch his, not the apostles, not a doctor's, not a faith healer, but if I can touch his, I will be healed. That was her testimony. And she touched the Lord. And she told the Lord all the truth, it says in verse 33. And in Mark chapter 5, our Lord says, and he said unto her, Jesus speaking, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. There's peace between you and God. Peace and salvation. The Lord saved her. The Lord saved her. He made her his own. And he says, your faith has made your faith in me has made you whole. Go in peace. There's peace between God and you. There's peace between me and you. You've put your faith in the right place. You've placed your faith in the right one. And you have been helped because of my power. Who touched me? The Lord said. Who touched me? And the apostles say, what do you mean? Everybody's touching you. The whole crowd's pressing on you. What do you mean? Who touched you? He says, I perceive that virtue is going out of me. Why? She had faith in the Lord. And the Lord says, go in peace. There's peace and healing in coming to Jesus. There's none other that you can come to. No preacher, no pastor, no priest, no supposed religious person of the world. There's no one that you can go to that can help you like the Lord Jesus can help you. As our brother again mentioned in Sunday school class, the Lord knows everything and he's got the power for everything. He's the one. He's the one to go to. He's the one that can bring peace and give peace to you. You know, there's peace and salvation, isn't there? There's peace and salvation, as we read about this woman. And then this woman in Luke chapter 7, this woman, our Lord is invited to a man's house, a Pharisee, and he's brought there. And the Simon is the man's name. He doesn't offer the Lord any water to wash his feet, no oil to anoint his head. He doesn't offer him the things that are common in their culture. He doesn't care about the Lord, really. He's doing this, once again, I believe, he's inviting the Lord into his house just for the sake of them finding quarrel against the Lord. But you know what? There's a woman there, and she's a sinner. I believe it's implied that she's a harlot. And she comes there, and she begins to wash the Lord Jesus' feet with the tears of her eyes. I tell you, take some time to think about that. She is weeping enough for there to be enough tears to be able to wash the dirt from the walking in the city there, and the Lord walking and traveling. She's shedding enough tears. You know, sometimes we might cry or we might hurt ourselves and cry, you know, and really, how often has it been, how long has it been since you cried and you made one Kleenex totally sopping wet? This woman had enough tears to get both of the Lord's feet wet enough to where she could take the hair of her head and wipe the dirt off of the Savior's feet. You know what it says after that? That she had such great care, such great love. The Lord told Simon, he said, I've come into your house. And he didn't even greet me with a kiss. That was common for them in their culture to be greeted that way. It's like we shake hands. It was like us coming to one another's house or to greet, come together to where we would greet one another and we wouldn't even shake one another's hands. Or maybe embrace, give a hug or something like that. The man didn't greet him that way. But that woman, after she had washed the Savior's feet or during the course of washing his feet with her tears and with the hairs of her head, she kissed his feet. She loves the Lord a lot, doesn't she? She's been saved. She's been rescued by our Lord. You know, we need to love our Lord that much. Not a lackadaisical kind of love that we talk about, But we need to show our love to our Lord by our life. This afternoon's message, Lord willing, will be about that. The Lord speaks to this woman after speaking to Simon. And it's a great offense unto them. In Luke 7, verse number 50, the Lord says unto this woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Tell you what, there's no greater peace than having peace with your Lord, with your Creator, with your God. You know, whether you're saved or not, it doesn't make any difference. He is your God. He is your Lord. He is the Savior. And you know what? By repentance and faith in Him, He can be your Savior. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can offer. But believe in Him. Believe in Him as this woman believed and trusted in Him. Thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith in me has saved thee. I believe we can say that if thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. There's peace and salvation. You know what? One day, and I look forward to it, and may the Lord help us that our hearts would be right about it. I know we have those that we love and we desire to be saved, and well, we should pray for them. That petition that we go, that supplication, we intercede as the children of God. We intercede between, there is only one intercessor to accomplish salvation, but there is that intercession that the children of God makes for other sinners. There's those that prayed for you before you were saved. There are those that prayed for me before the Lord saved me. And we certainly should intercede in that way. But you know what? We need to look forward to our Lord ruling and reigning one day. Even so come, as Brother John said there on the Isle of Patmos, as he saw that revelation, the Lord gave him that revelation of himself that he should bring, put in the scriptures and bring to us even down here today. You know what? There will be true peace worldwide when Jesus reigns. There will be worldwide peace, indeed, true peace, when Jesus reigns. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 38, it says here, the Lord's coming in, His triumphant entry, and we'll pick it up here in verse number 38. And these people that were there, this great troop and multitude, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." It goes on to say in verse number 40, "And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." He'd been rebuked by those Pharisees and religious leaders, said, "Shut these people down. Don't let them be talking like this. This is glory that what's implied that they were saying is this is glory only attributable to God." Well, that's the point. He is God, isn't He? And He is the fulfilling of those prophecies regarding David. And then He comes near to Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus does, and He says in verse number 42, He weeps over the city, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace." Exclamation point. He said, these things belong to you. This is the fulfilling of the prophecy that is first Israel, that is first Jerusalem. And He's not talking about the buildings. He's not talking about the dirt. He's not talking about that piece of geography. He's talking about the nation. The people, the very ones that are rejecting Him, the leaders of the nation should have been in a spiritual shape to receive the Savior when He came. That's the way they should have been, but they were not. And He says here, "If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." One of the things that they were proclaiming there, and it tells us in other accounts in the Gospels, is they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And that word, Hosanna, that name, or that exclamation, Hosanna, is, "Save us, we pray. Deliver us, we pray." You know, I hadn't understood it like in this way until going and reviewing this passage. In regards to this, you know, when Jesus rules and reigns, there will be ultimate peace worldwide. But understand this, Jesus becoming a man and fulfilling his gospel makes it such that the nation of Israel and Jerusalem can be rescued. See, if he didn't do that, the nation couldn't be. Israel and Jerusalem. He says, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Jesus came to save his people and to fulfill his gospel. But also he came and he did these things because they're to the restoring of the nation. If the Lord hadn't come and fulfilled his ministry and fulfilled his gospel, his nation couldn't be restored. His city could not be restored. He said, this belongs to your peace, but they're hid from you. But you know, one day they won't be hid. In Zechariah 9:9, the scripture says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That was prophetic about this time. And she was told to rejoice, but because of her blindness, she couldn't. But that the Lord filling those things, that prophecy being fulfilled and what the Lord came to do even beyond that in his gospel, it's such that the nation will be grafted back in, won't she? Israel will be grafted back in and the Lord's city, Jerusalem, will be restored as the capital of the world. In conclusion, to we who are saved, add to faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. In Galatians 5, to we who are saved, we are to exhibit and manifest peace. We're to do so. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The Lord has given a challenge to us. There's peace in carrying the gospel and word of the Lord in there. You know, when we do so, we have peace. We have a blessing in that. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 5, the Lord said, into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. You ever wonder what that meant? You know, we'll go to some places and the word of God will be received. The way that we walk will be received. We'll go to some places where the word that we preach and the gospel that we hold forth will not be received. And our way of life, our desire, if you will, for a lack of a better way to say it, the blessing that God has given us of our commitment to walk with the Lord and following him and fulfilling, even as his church, a great commission, there's places that will be received and people that will receive that and then people that won't. Do we not bring good tidings of peace? The same gospel and the same Lord that saved us can save other sinners and will and bring them peace. What's more important? What's of greater eternal weight than the salvation of souls? Than our own souls having been saved? See, there's peace. It's a challenge that the Lord gives to us. He said, there is peace in carrying the gospel and the word of the Lord. With receiving of the truth of our Lord, there is peace. But with the rejection of the truth of our Lord, what's that bring? It brings condemnation, doesn't it? We're not the judge. We're not the meter out of punishment. But we know when sinners reject the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, we know. It's sad. It's sad for we who are saved to take and present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and sow that seed and it be rejected because we know without the Lord changing their hearts and touching them and saving them, we know what lies ahead for those that reject the way of the Lord. It's not a peaceful way, is it? You see that? We bring peace at the directive of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, there in the Beatitudes, as we refer to them, our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, he says, listen, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know what? Our Father made it possible for there to be peace between us and him. You hear that? He is the great peacemaker, our great God. And isn't it right that his children would be known as peacemakers too? Blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peace God's way through Jesus Christ, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemaker has children who are peacemakers too. You know what? Number three, in this challenge of our Lord, this peace fruit challenge of our Lord to us, there's peace and fellowship one with another. In Mark chapter 9, verse number 50, our Lord Jesus says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? See, if salt isn't salty anymore, there's not something else you can add to it to make it salty again. Listen to what he says. Salt is good, but if the salt had lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Isn't it interesting? Our Lord says it that way, and those phrases and those words together that way. Salt is good. Salt is good. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. There's peace and fellowship one with another because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, there's peace when our Lord Jesus is near, isn't there? In John chapter 20, after the Lord had been crucified, was buried for 3 days and three nights, and then rose from the dead, the scripture says in John 20:19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. As a brother prayed, and it's been said already this morning, we have a great blessing, and our Lord has promised to be with us today. Be with us this morning in these services. And that is, when we know that and we believe that, we trust in him for that, that brings a great peace. In verse 21 of that same chapter, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Peace. Go in peace and bear the message of peace. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Go. Verse 26 of that same chapter, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. He hadn't been the week before. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. You know, our Lord Jesus, when he's near, it is peaceful, isn't it? It is peaceful. How about when we've got sin in our lives in a bad way, in a bad attitude, and our hearts aren't right, and Jesus is not near because of sin that we haven't confessed? Is it peaceful? Guilt's at hand. The chastening words or touch or hand of the Lord is at hand. It's not peaceful. It wasn't peaceful when my daddy would give me a whipping because of my disobedience. That wasn't peaceful. Now, it brought some peace because if he connected and got through, then I didn't do that again. And that was peaceful. But when we're disobedient to our Lord, it's not peaceful at all, is it? And then there's peace in Jesus, peace in him, peace in the God-man, the Savior. Again, this is the Lord's challenge to us. Do we look to know these things? Do we look to cultivate these things in our hearts and our lives? You know, this isn't pie in the sky. This is real stuff. This isn't a theological thing that's a far way off just for theologians and pastors to attain to. This is what our Lord speaks to us. Peace in Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In John 16:33, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Again, in Matthew 11, verse 29, the Lord says, take my yoke upon you. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Peace, comfort, assurity. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, the apostle writes, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." Are you tore up about what you can understand? Are you troubled and bothered about the things and the way of the world and what's going on in the world? The things you can look on and you say, that's not right. That's going nowhere good. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know, we rest in our Lord. We know He's all powerful, all able. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need our hearts and minds kept, don't we? Not distracted and detracted from the things that are at hand. When we do see those things in our country, our nation, and the people of our land that grieve us, and we know, again, we know those things will not bring them peace. And we're grieved by that. We need to get our eyes back on the Lord and know that our Lord's in control. Lord, lo, that while there's life in the Lord, there's hope. We need to pray to that end. He goes on to say in Philippians 4 and verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Even though the world around us just might be in chaos, with our Lord, we can have, and in Him we have peace indeed. Do you manifest the peace fruit of the Spirit, child of God? Has your peace fruit waxed cold? Do you have any peace fruit at all? Look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalm 1, rather. Psalm 1. Read here. Read here what the Scripture says. In Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." There's a progression down, down, down there. "Blessed is the man that has his delight in the law of the Lord," God's word, "and in his law doth he meditate day and night." What, verse 3, what's it say? "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." How is it about these fruit with you, child of God? How is it when regarding to this peace fruit? Does it manifest itself in your life? Will it be known that you and I are the children, the sons of the peacemaker? Will we be known as the children of God, who is that great peacemaker, and be peacemakers ourselves? "That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Do you have any peace fruit at all? As we've read many times in Romans 8, 9, "But ye are not in the flesh." We who are saved, we're not operating in the flesh, are we? But in the Spirit. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." To those that are here and not saved, there's all kinds of things that speak to you out of the Scripture. There is a peace that you need with God that you can only have through Jesus Christ. You don't have peace. You have no expectation of peace. The peace that you have is the peace of this world, and it's not going to last. It's not going to accomplish anything eternal. As the Lord gave an example in Luke chapter 14 about the king that considers the other king that's coming against him and whether he's got enough in his army and enough resources to be able to stand against that king or not. And when he knows that that king way outguns him, he sends forth an ambassage to make peace. "See, your condemnation for your sin is coming, and you will not be able to stand against it. You will utterly fall." But you know what? There's an ambassador. There's an intercessor. There's a mediator that has all that's needed for peace to be made for you between you and God and His judgment. Conditions of peace through Christ. As it says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Him. Faith in Him, what He has done, what He has promised, the fulfilling of His gospel for the likes of you. He's the only hope that you have. We point you to Him. Remember when Brother Peter in Acts chapter 10 is preaching in Cornelius's house? He's preaching there and he's going just right down the line from the Word of God and Lord dealing with Israel and then the Word of God and then the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's preaching about it. I mean, he's putting the hammer down with it. And he says and preaches there in Acts chapter 10, verse number 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. See that? Peace. You need peace, and it's only found in the Lord. And in Romans chapter 10, which we have recently gone on in Sunday afternoons, speaking about the working of the Lord and God's good blessing and working towards men. He says there in Romans chapter 10, verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And the Lord has sent them. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The Lord has done this and bring glad tidings of good things. Sinner, you need to repent and believe the gospel, to repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. As it tells us, we are saved in Ephesians 2:14, for He is our peace. And through repentance and faith, He can be your peace too. It says here, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So you need Him to break down that wall that's between you and the Lord. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. Speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles. You can be saved. You can have peace through our Lord. Colossians 1:20 talks about the peace through the blood of the Lord's cross. And then in Hebrews 12, it tells us we are saved to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. And so you need holiness. You need holiness. And you can only have that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And listen here what the Lord says, what the Scripture says here about peace towards sinners. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, as the apostles closing out the book, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Sinner, you need Jesus. We who are saved, we have Jesus. And having Jesus, we have peace with God. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6 and 7, it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him coming. As we read earlier about Him being born. And you know what the name, one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ is? The Prince of Peace. There's been no other prince that has been the Prince of Peace. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Our desire for you is that you have eternal peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What the Lord said, the Lord's example about what we're to add and what we're to exhibit, peace.